long leg of our journey. Crows followed. We gathered another 4 recruits, professional caravan guards from a nomad tribe called the Roy, who deserted to join us. I started a squad for Mergen. He was not thrilled. He was content being standard-bearer and had developed hopes of taking over the analyst's chores from me because I had so much to do as captain and medic. I dared not discourage him. The only alternative substitute was One-Eye. He was not reliable. And south some more, and still we were not back to One-Eye's origin, the jungles of Dalak-Galak. One-Eye swore that never in his life, outside the company, had he heard the name Katovar. It had to lie far beyond the waste of the world. There are limits to what frail flesh can endure. Those long leagues were not easy. The black iron coach and lady's wagon drew the eye of bandits and princes who were bandits. Most times, Goblin and One-Eye bluffed us through. The rest of the time, we forced them to back down with a little applied terror. There was one long stretch where the magic had gone away. If those two had learned anything during their years with the company, it was showmanship. When they conjured an illusion, you could smell its bad breath from 70 feet away. I wished they would refrain from wasting that flash upon one another. I decided it was time we laid up for a few days. We needed to regain our youthful bounce. One-Eye suggested, "There's a place down the road called the Temple of Traveler's Repose. They take in wanderers. They have for 2,000 years. It would be a good place to lay up and do some research." Research? 2,000 years of travelers' tales makes a hell of a library, Croker. And a tale is the only donative they ever require. He had me. He grinned cockily. The old scoundrel knew me too well. Nothing else could have stilled my determination to reach Katovar so thoroughly. I passed the word and gave One-Eye the fisheye. "That means you're going to do some honest work." "What? Who do you think is going to translate?" He groaned and rolled his eye. "When am I going to learn to keep my big damned mouth shut?" The temple was a lightly fortified monastery sprawled atop a low hill. It looked golden in the light of a late afternoon sun. The forest beyond and the fields before were as intense a dark green as ever I have seen. The place looked restful. As we entered, a wave of well-being cleansed us. A feeling of, "I have come home," washed over us. I looked at Lady. The things I felt glowed in her face and touched my heart. "I could retire here," I told Lady 2 days into our stay. Clean for the first time in months, we stalked a garden never disturbed by conflicts more weighty than the squabbles of sparrows. She gave me a thin smile and did me the courtesy of saying nothing about the delusive nature of dreams. The place had everything I thought I wanted. Comfort, quiet, isolation from the ills of the earth, purpose, challenging historical studies to soothe my lust to know what had gone on before. Most of all, it provided a respite from responsibility. Each man added to the company seemed to double my burden as I worried about keeping them fed, keeping them healthy and out of trouble.